Hear the word of the Lord. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be made known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken away from him. This is the word of God.
Good evening. It's good to be here with you guys this evening, preaching for once, and not leading or singing or playing or something. So before we get stuck into God's word, just bow with me in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can have to dig into your word. I just pray that you prepare our hearts, Lord, and with your Holy Spirit that you would work in each and every one of us this evening to produce fruit for your glory. I pray this in your name. Amen. Okay. So, ever since working on the Logos Hope ship a few months ago, I've just had this thing for ships. Okay, now just this week, I came across a ship called the MV Hengst. Okay, she was put into service in 1972 as a ferry in the English Channel, sailing between Folkestone and this other place that only French people can pronounce. She was bought in later years by a company called Venturia Sea Liners and changed her name to the Panagia Tino, and then still used as a ferry between the capital of Greece and the Greek islands. Now, man, did this ship have character, all right? In 1987, she breached offshore in Folkestone in a great storm, but she just sustained minor injuries and she still sailed off perfectly. And just prior to this, after she was leaving a port in France, she collided with a fishing trawler, killing three fishermen. Anyways, in January 2015, she was confiscated by the Greek government due to unpaid debt by Venturia Sea Liners, and was immediately docked in a port near Athens. Early one morning in April this year, harbor workers found the Panagia Tino leaning on one side. She had started filling with water due to rust and corrosion in the hull of the ship. This great ship, now just rotting away, sinking to the bottom of the ocean. Now, Jesus is painting the same picture here with this parable. Firstly, take a look at me at my first point, the abnormal Christian life. We just saw last week in the parable of the sower, the different responses to God's word, and obviously the normal response to God's word to grow and produce fruit, like the good soil. Look with me in verse 16. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, they put it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Now, Jesus is highlighting the absurdity and the abnormality of taking the function, the light's main function, away from it. The light was meant to shine, and that's the normal thing for the light to do, but the abnormal thing for the light to do would be to cover it and take that away from it. It's the parable of the sower that Jesus is going back to here, because just like the lamp, the normal thing for a Christian to do is to bear fruit, and the abnormal thing for a Christian to do is not to bear fruit, just like the light. Now, the common mistake to make here, Jesus isn't speaking about the word being a lamp to our feet or a light to our path, or even us being a light to the world so much. He's speaking about whether the light is working like it's supposed to or not, whether we as God's people are working like we are supposed to and producing fruit or not. Because it's easy to say that we are Christians, and some people just seem to accept our word of mouth, that a verbal affirmation that we are Christians, that's all right. People don't ask any questions. Where Jesus says, the real proof is in how they live and what fruit they are producing. We need to search our hearts and honestly judge in our lives whether we are matching up, because we cannot say that we are Christians but still do other things. I don't know if it is even possible for you to be a Christian, but you're still sleeping with your partner and you guys are not married. Or to say that you're a Christian, but on weekends getting mortally drunk with your friends. Or still stealing money from work, all those kind of things. Jesus is very clear that the proof of our Christian life is in the fruit that we bear. Take a look with me, secondly, at the warning to the abnormal Christian. Follow with me in verse 17. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be brought out into the open. Now, following on from verse 16, Jesus is saying this because he knows there are frauds, and especially in his time with the Pharisees prowling around, it should be no surprise to us. We may look like Christians because we're sitting here in church, but actually we're not producing any fruit in our lives. And Jesus knows this because he was common. The common thing around him was all the Pharisees opposing and opposing him. So he's saying that you might look like a Christian just because you're hanging around, or you might look like one of God's people just because you're hanging around, but you're not really bearing any fruit. And he says, a day will come where you will be exposed for who you really are. There's a saying that goes, you can fool all the people some of the time, and you can fool some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. Now, I do believe this is true, but I still think there's a sense in which we can get away with stuff here on earth. And even though people who can be with us for our whole lives, family, friends, I still think that there's definitely a sense in which we can still get away with stuff from them. But it is inevitable that one day we will stand before the Lord and we will be shown for who we really are. Let's move on to verse 18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they think they have will be taken away from them. So Jesus is saying, because you're going to stand in front of the Lord one day, be very careful how you listen. It's the spiritual use it or lose it principle. We have God's word. It gets preached from this pulpit Sunday after Sunday, morning and evening. But Jesus is saying, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to use it? Because if you don't, it might get taken away. Now, Jesus is not going to physically come and take your Bible away from you or something like that. But this is what he means. Look at this. Look at the other part, the second part of verse 18. Whoever has will be given more, but whoever does not have, even what they think they have, will be taken away from it, from them. So those who have God's word and who listen to God's word carefully and search through it in their hearts, that it really makes a change in them and they produce fruit in their lives. Jesus says, God will give them more. But as for those who don't, just sitting here on a Sunday, listening to God's word, but not actually thinking through it, praying about it, speaking to other Christians about it, and it doesn't produce fruit in your lives, Jesus says, even what you think you have will get taken away. So you thought you were one of God's people just because you're sitting around here, but it's not necessarily like that. Because you might just be fooling yourself that you were one of God's people in the first place. Now, this is a real danger and a warning from Jesus. And I really want to challenge all of us here today to use God's word like it's meant to be used. We really need to spend time in our quiet times. I don't know what everybody's quiet times are like, but it is so important. We need to spend time in God's word, wrestling with it, praying about it, spending time with other Christians, talking to them about it, so that through God's Spirit, He can grow the seed in our hearts and produce fruit in us. Else, we are just like ships sitting here in the church, docked away, rotting away underneath. So in conclusion, I have two challenges for us all, even me. Firstly, we need to go home and do an honest examination of our hearts and lives. We need to think if we are really bearing fruit for Christ, or if we're just sitting here on a Sunday and being pew warmers. And if we are not bearing fruit, we need to listen more carefully. We need to take God's word to heart. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to speak to other people about it so that God's Holy Spirit can grow the seed in our hearts and that he can produce fruit. Secondly, there is another way in which we can use God's word besides for ourselves. Look at Romans. If you have a Bible, turn to Romans 10 verse 14. If you don't, it's going to come up on the overhead, so don't rush. Okay, this is what it says. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? This word that we have that has changed our hearts, this is a message that we carry of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. It is so important for us to get this out to other people, because how do they get eternal life without us telling them about the message of eternal life? Right? Now, I understand nerves, and so did Jesus. He lived on earth and he faced a whole lot more than we do. But let me tell you this. A ship is safest when it's anchored down and roped and docked in the harbor. But it's not made to sit there. It's made to be sailing the open seas. In fact, it's when the ship is sitting docked in the harbor for too long, not doing what it's supposed to be doing, that it starts rotting and rusting away underneath. And before you know it, it sinks down to the bottom. We are the same. We are safest here at church, with our church friends, in our church building. But we're not meant to be here. We're not built to be here. We're built to be out there sharing the gospel with our unchurched friends, people who don't know the gospel, people who don't know Jesus. And what better opportunities than what is available for us here at Emmanuel? Richard Borgnon was here just a few months ago with those Word One-to-One books. I don't know if you guys have got hold of them yet, but come speak to us to get hold of them. It's such a great way. It's the gospel of John in a book that you can sit with your friend who doesn't know Jesus. Not that you're above them or below them, you guys sitting on the same level reading through it together. There's no even notes, or you don't even have to know anything. It's all there on the page. And our October Missions Month coming up, there's so many events that we can get involved in to get the gospel out to our unbelieving friends. The Women's Conference coming up, it's this weekend. Like, ladies, bring a friend who doesn't know Jesus, and don't tell me that you don't know someone who doesn't know Jesus. There's got to be someone. Even if it's a stranger, the lady in the line at the post office, whatever, invite them. What's the worst that can happen? They can say no. And I mean, October's full of it. The guys, there's a thing coming up for the guys. I know the rugby's going to suck, but that's not what we're there for. We want the gospel's going to be preached, and that's what we need to bring our friends there for. So really think about this, using God's word the way that it's meant to be used, and especially for our friends. Eternity is at stake. Bow your heads and pray with me. Thank you for your word, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, that each and every one of us can go home, and that we can really search our hearts and our lives to see if we are producing fruit for you. And if we're not, Lord, help us. Give us your spirit to change our hearts, that we can repent and start producing fruit for you. I just pray, Lord, that you calm our nerves. It is scary to bring the gospel to other people, to even make conversations with strangers. But Lord, I pray that you give us strength through your spirit, and that this October month would be successful, winning people for your kingdom. I pray this in your name. Amen.
It's such a great privilege to be here this evening to bring the message to you all. But before I begin, let me just open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this evening, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we could be here, Lord, and that we could hear from your word, Lord. Dear Lord, I do pray, Lord, that each of us listens, Lord, listens with an open heart, Lord, listens with open ears, Lord, and just listens to your word that you have for us this evening. I pray this in your heavenly name. Amen. As I was growing up, people always used to tell me that I'm either a Sims, my father's side, or a Kun, my mother's side, by my actions. When I was naughty, like egging houses, They always used to say that I'm a Sims. I remember this one story my dad told me. When he was in school, him and his brothers, they were very naughty. They took the principal's car, a small mini, picked it up, and put it in between two rugby poles. When I craved sweet things, like condensed milk, they always said I was a coon, because my mother loved condensed milk. She used to steal the small tin that my oma used to buy and eat the tin by herself and then hide it away in her brother or sister's cupboard and blame them. I'm sure that all of you here this evening can relate. You have been called your parents' kids by your actions, by what you say and do. I'm sure for those that are parents here this evening, you have passed certain things on to your kids and they imitate you in some way. Alistair always tells me that Juliet is more like him because he is the more reserved one, and Bella is more like Jenny. But I wonder sometimes who really acts like who. Growing up in a house with a family, you learn to do things a specific way. How you've listened to your parents, or the lack of listening to them, will be seen in your actions. Luke inserts this short narrative after the parable of the sower and the parable of the lamb to teach us the importance of listening to his word. That brings me to the big idea of my passage, which tonight is Jesus' true family is recognized by how they hear God's word and put it into practice. Jesus has already told us twice the importance of listening, as you read in Luke 8 verse 15 and Luke 8 verse 18. And here again in these verses, he tells us the importance of listening and once being gripped by the gospel, seeking ways of putting your faith into practice. This is not the first time Jesus teaches about the importance of listening and putting into practice. At the end of the Sermon on the Plain, we read in Luke 6 verse 47, "As for everyone who comes to me and hears my word and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like." Jesus drops the mic here when he tells the crowd that it's easy to confess, "Lord, Lord," but a true disciple builds his faith on Christ, and the outward working of this faith will be seen in obedience. Jesus again leaves the crowd speechless, leaves the crowd saying, "What is this Jesus saying?" When he says these words in Luke 8 verse 21, he replied, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice." Luke does not tell us much about this event or the circumstances around this event, as you read in Luke 8 verse 19 to 20. "Now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him because the crowd. Someone told him, 'Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to see you.'" See, you are not told much about this event. But if we read in Mark's gospel, we are given a bit more information about this event. We are told that there is some sort of strife between him and his family. We are also never told in this event whether or not his family believed in him or not. By Luke not telling us either the circumstances around this event and not telling us whether or not his family believed in him or not, I think Luke wants us to focus on the key importance that Jesus wants us to focus on here. Jesus uses the coming of his relatives to drive home two key points about his true family, and that is that there are no free passes into his true family, and how are we listening? That brings me to my first point, that there are no free passes. If I ask anyone here this evening, what is the closest relationship they have? You guys will most likely say that it is with your family, right? Whether it be with your parents, your spouse, your siblings, or all of the above, the relationship you have with your family is special. This certainly applies to me. The relationship I have with my mother, my father, and my brothers is the closest relationship I have. You tell them things you would not tell anyone else. They know when you are sad, even when you don't show it. And they know those special things about you to make you happy. Now I want you to imagine I split this room in two tonight. From Alistair, that side is one family, and from Amy, this side is one family. And no, you can't choose your family, like the saying goes, so you can't switch, sorry. You would have your mother, your brother, your sisters, your aunties, your uncle, your widow. You would have a small taste of what it would be like to be part of a Jewish family in the first century. They were fairly large and very close. For a Jew, his family only came second to his religion. This is how important family was to the Jews in the first century. And you would have expected Jesus being part of his Jewish family when he heard his mother and brothers were looking for him to either go to them or to ask the crowd to move away so they could come to him. Therefore, Jesus responds in Luke 8 verse 21 when he says, "My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice," would have really shocked the crowd and would have shocked his family. This comment made by Jesus could have been seen as him not honoring his mother and his brothers and breaking the fifth commandment. But we read earlier in Luke 2 verse 51, after Jesus' parents found him in the temple, we read that he was obedient to his parents. We also read in Mark 6 verse 1 to 6, as Jesus is teaching in his hometown, the people are astonished by his teaching. And they say, "Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary?" See, Jesus would have been recognized by his trade, and he would have needed to support his family after his father passed away. See, Jesus did honor his parents. But see, Jesus used this opportunity of the coming of his relatives not to shame his family, but to lift up those who have put their faith in Jesus far above his earthly family. Jesus lifts them up because they have put his faith in him. It is not just knowing him, but it's putting your faith in him. Jesus knows that this life is short, that this earthly family will only have him but for a short while. But the kingdom of God is eternal, and his heavenly family will have him for far longer. By Jesus lifting up his heavenly family to a place far above his earthly family, God teaches us that in the kingdom of God, there's no favoritism. His family do not get a free pass into heaven because they are his family and because they know him. The same applies for you and us today. There's no favoritism shown by Jesus. No one gets a free pass into his kingdom because you are part of a Christian family. No one gets a free pass into his kingdom because your spouse does ministry. And no one gets a free pass into his kingdom because you sit in church week in and week out. If Jesus did not give a free pass to his family, the family that loved him, the family that spent time with him, the family that knew him, there's definitely no free pass for you and I. But there is something far greater than a free pass. That is the good news of the gospel. The good news that Jesus did come. He came to die on the cross for sinners. Sinners like you and me, who didn't deserve his grace, but he gave it freely for those who put their faith in him. This free gift of grace was being announced to all the towns and to the cities, as you read in Luke 8 verse 1. See, Jesus wanted the people to know the good news of the gospel. So he announced it to them. He proclaimed it to them. Jesus uses three illustrations that they would have really understood by the seed, the lamp, and the family. See, the seed that was sown was the same seed to all of them. in all the soils. The lamp that shines is the same light that shines. And the family that he gives is the same gift to all. See, this short story brings to a conclusion these three teachings. The teachings that Jesus wants to teach us of how are we listening to his word. And that brings me to my second point. We all know that teaching and preaching is very important, as the Bible teaches this to us. But Jesus teaches us here how important it is for each one of us to be listening. See, the preacher cannot preach if he has not listened to the word himself first. Jesus teaches here that the listener has a responsibility. Three times Jesus emphasizes just how important it is for each one of us to be listening. We need to be listening with spiritual ears, with ears that want to hear the word, with ears that want to understand the word, and in holding fast to the word, produce fruit. For those of you who have not put their faith yet in Christ, the call to how are you are listening is here tonight. Stop trying to listen with your own ears, ears that do not hear and hearts that are hardened. But ask God to help you to listen, and he will help you tonight. See, the free gift of grace is there for all. All you have to do is ask him. For those of who call themselves believers tonight, the call to listen is for us too. Do we come and sit in church week in and week out, listening to the word being preached, but do not actually listen? Do we come like the crowd, maybe, coming to be entertained, coming to watch a show, coming to just hear every week, but do not really listen to what the word is preaching to us? So how have you been listening, if you call yourself a Christian? Because how you have been listening will be seen in how you do. See, the doing always follows the listening. As you read in Luke 8 verse 15, as it says, "But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop." See, just like my lack of listening when I was young showed that I didn't actually listen to my parents, how we live out the Christian life will show how we are listening to the word. Our Christian life must show how we listen. So my challenge tonight is, how are you listening? Let me just close in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for the word, Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have given the gift, Lord, to be able to understand your word, Lord. All we need to do is ask, Lord. Dear Lord, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us the free gift of grace to all that come to you. Come and bow before your feet, and you will give it to them freely, Lord. Dear Lord, you announce the free gift to everyone, Lord. I pray, Lord, that those here tonight who have not put their faith in you yet will look to you, Lord, and you will give it to them, Lord. Dear Lord, I do pray, Lord, for all of us, Lord, as we go away from here, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we may listen to the word, Lord, that it will be our guide, Lord, in our lives, Lord, and that we will show, Lord, that we are your family, Lord. I pray this in your heavenly name. Amen.